Praise God. Well, want to welcome everyone to Healing Center this morning as we get started. Welcome everyone online as well. I call you blessed. Why don't we do something different this morning as well? Put our hands together for all those that may be online this morning. We want them to be blessed and helped as well, and they will be. Praise God. Well, thank you for being here today. And I just want to remind us, because a lot of times we do have new people, and especially online, why Healing Center is so important and what it's about. Well, Healing Center teaches us why we can know, everybody say no, why we can know that healing is God's will for all. You know, the faith is always the result of knowing something, and knowing not just something, knowing what the Word of God says. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. So there's no such thing as faith apart from knowing what God has said. And this is why the Healing Center obviously is called Healing Center, because we focus on knowing what the Word of God teaches concerning healing. Not man's opinion, not just some church doctrine, but actually what the Scripture teaches concerning that. And then, even as important, how to receive it. It's one thing to know healing is the will of God. It's another thing to know how to receive it. So Healing Center is about both. And today we're going to continue our series that we're doing on, that we've entitled God's Remedy, Redemption. And I'm reminding us, and I think it's important that we are reminded what the word remedy means. It means a cure. Amen. And that God's cure was redemption. This is why I call this God's remedy, redemption. In other words, God's cure for man is found in redemption. Whatever man needed and man lost was restored in redemption. So when I say redemption, I mean God's, what is called is God's great plan of redemption. In other words, what he did in Christ, what God the Father did in Christ to restore man back to himself because of sin and the fall, as well as everything that was lost in it. And so redemption is a revelation of that, and this is why it's so important. And for all of those that may not have been our recent messages or heard it, it bears repeating. What I'm teaching from is Isaiah 53, in particular verses 4 and 5. And you can go ahead and turn there now, because we'll get there in just a moment. But it's very important that we understand that Isaiah 53 is known as the great redemptive chapter in the Bible. And what I chose to do is just really emphasize these two verses, and we're unpacking them. And by no means am I unpacking everything that it said, and we're bringing out primarily one significant and important part of this. And we're going to begin again in verse 4 and 5, Isaiah 53. You can follow along with me. It says, surely. Everybody say, surely. Now, we've already established this word surely in the Hebrew means, it means exactly that. It means truly or certainly. So, in other words, God is saying you can be certain of this truth. There's no question. This is not a hope so, not a maybe so, not a will be one day. It's surely he hath, talking about Jesus, borne our grief. So we know that the word born means to lift off, to take away. It is the Hebrew word NASA again. And we, when we think of NASA, we think about, you know, rocket ships taking off and those kind of things. This is what the Scripture is trying to convey to us, that when Jesus went to the cross, he bore, he lifted off the sin. Redemption was about God removing from what was put on man because of the sin that he and the fall of man. And so he lifted these things off. Surely he hath borne our griefs. And we found that this word grief there in the Hebrew would be better translated sickness or disease, and carried our sorrows. And although that this other word sorrow can be translated that, all through the Old Testament is translated as physical pains. Okay, so we read it like this. Surely he hath borne or removed our sicknesses and diseases, and he carried away our pains. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. And so this, the case in point that I'm emphasizing, and I know I'm doing it every time, and I'm doing it for a purpose so that we have this surely in our hearts. I'm emphasizing what the scripture emphasizes here, that healing, like forgiveness and salvation, was paid for at the same time and determined once and for all at the cross, because it's all part of redemption. Do you get that? In other words, we see here that just like Jesus paid the price for our sins, he paid the price for our sicknesses and our diseases at the same identical time. It was determined and settled at the cross. We don't have to wonder about it anymore. We don't have to hope so, wish so, or wait to get to heaven for that to be a reality. If the truth is that you and I can be forgiven and saved, the truth is the same, that you and I can be healed. And matter of fact, God said, as far as he's concerned, the price has been paid, that it's already done. Oh, he's waiting for us to acknowledge it and receive it. Can I get an amen? So redemption teaches us that just like the blood of Jesus paid the price for our salvation and the forgiveness of our sins, the stripes of Jesus paid the price for our healing. And what we need to understand is that when we study this, and I brought this out, I'm going to bring it out again without reteaching it, we find very clearly when the New Testament the New Testament commentaries of this verse here in Isaiah 53, we have two commentaries in the New Testament that explains exactly what this verse was meant to mean to us. And that is Matthew 8:16-17 and 1 Peter 2:24. We find Matthew's account of explaining this from the life and ministry of Jesus, as well as Peter, eyewitness account of what this meant in 1 Peter 2:24. Now, when it says, by his stripes you are healed, many times people are confused and they say, well, you know, healing is, but that's talking about something other than physical healing. It's talking about spiritual healing. But I want you to know, and I've emphasized this, that there's no such thing as really spiritual healing. You're made new. You're not healed spiritually. Now, I know people will argue with that and say, you know, well, you can be healed spiritually. No, your spirit is made new. You're made a brand new creation. It's not healed. Now, the part of you that can be healed is your body and your mind. And this includes that. And so in other words, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by his stripes you were healed at the cross. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. It's been paid for. All he's waiting for us to do is acknowledge it and receive it. This word healed, every time without exception, it's used as physical or mental healing. And this is how it's intended in for us to understand. And if I have more time before I finish and Pastor Debbie comes back, we will look at further in verse 5 where it says that it further explains that, the chastisement for our peace, what all that means. But the truth is, I've already emphasized, it's talking about the wholeness of man. It was God's will in redemption for the man to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. And redemption has provided that. And what God wants us to know is that healing, like salvation and forgiveness, is a benefit that is waiting for us to know about and to receive. And this is what I'm emphasizing. This is why I'm teaching it. Because just because we've heard it once doesn't mean we got it. And this is something that's so valuable to us, we need to hear it and hear it, because that's how faith comes. And we need to keep it before us. I can encourage you in this. Healing is going to be a topic that you and I are going to have to be all the time looking at and renewing our mind on. Because as long as we live in this fallen world, we're going to at some point need healing or to be reminded of these things when they come, because we just live in a fallen world. You know that. And Brother Hagin would always teach us. He would say there's three topics that you should never stop renewing your mind on. You should always, above, you know, the Bible tells a pastor that he has to preach from the whole counsel of the Word of God. And so not just one thing, but there's many things. But there are certain things that no matter who we are, we're going to have to always go back to individually. And as a pastor, I'm going to have to keep going back to the things that are most important for us. Okay? One of those things that we're not going to talk about, but it's worth mentioning today, is the Spirit-filled walk. In one visitation that Brother Hagin had from Jesus, he shared that testimony, and somebody asked him. He says, "You know, is there one thing that you would say that Jesus wanted to emphasize from what he was trying to get across from him?" He said, "Oh yeah, beyond all else, he wants us to live a Spirit-filled life. He wants us to live a Spirit-filled life. That means that we need to be filled with the Spirit and learn how to walk in the Spirit." In other words, and you know, the one and done of Spirit-filled is you're missing out. In other words, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, that prayer language is for your benefit. And we need to pray in it daily, and we need to stay. It helps us to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? But the three topics that he said you always need to renew your mind on was faith, love, and healing. Because you always need to deal with those three. So no matter who we are, we need to be always reading along those lines or at some point in our life. And this this service that we do here every Wednesday helps fulfill that for us. Matter of fact, a lot of times when people, you know, I know people work and do things like that, but when they're facing a challenge, I just tell them. They'll come to us and just say, "You know what, I've got this going on." I said, "The thing that you need to do is pull up the Healing Center. You need to listen to it." And most of the time Pastor Debbie's doing it, I said, "You need to pull up the Healing Center, listen to what Pastor Debbie's taught." And you don't need to do it once in a while. You need to do it until that word gets in you, and continue to do it, because we always need that. Yeah. Well, that was for free. But it won't hurt us. Amen. And so I want to pick up where we left off last week in the messages, which was called, last week's message was Healings Evidence the Word of God. Healings Evidence the Word of God. I want to pick up where I left off last week, because what we need to understand is Isaiah 53 is clearly a healing evidence. It's a healing evidence. Healings evidence the Word of God. What proof do we have? If I was a defense attorney, what proof do we have that healing, it belongs to us, or we could have healing from God? God's Word. God's Word. And this is what we have been talking about. Very important. Very important for us today. So today, we're going to look at other scriptures where the Word of God gives evidence of healing for us today. Amen. So for those that are taking notes, you can just entitle today's message, More Evidence. More Evidence. More Proof. Oh, I'm going to bring more receipts today. You know, sometimes when something is said in the world, you know, and people will argue, "Well, that's not true. That's just that's just somebody's opinion or someone's conspiracy theory." You know, you hear somebody say, "It's not a theory, or it's not somebody's opinion." I got the receipts for all of that. I can show you the receipts where it's been said, where it's been recorded, where it was done at. Amen. And how many know the receipts are the proof, the evidence? Amen. And what God wants us to understand, feelings is not your evidence. The Word of God is your evidence. Sickness is not your evidence. The Word of God is your evidence, your proof that healing belongs to you. Sickness and disease is not evidence that healing doesn't belong to you. It means you're under attack. And until you and I understand that doesn't come from God and we can resist it with our authority, because His origin does not come from God, nor is it God's will, but you and I must resist that. It doesn't belong to us. Come on, I'm preaching butter and you're saying amen this morning. It's the truth. And so we've got to realize that, you know, many times is real as feelings feel. Feel and real can be two different things. And what we have to understand is the pain is not the evidence that healing is not yours. But rather, the Word of God is proof that it is. Praise God. So let's get the word evidence again. We'll pull up slide 13. We looked at this last week, but I think it bears repeating because we're looking at more evidence from the Word of God that healing is the will of God for all and how you can receive it, how it's already been provided in redemption. You don't have to, listen, you don't even have to, you can pray for it to receive it because you can receive in prayer. But just by knowing what's been given and then just receiving it, just like that, saying, thank you, Lord, I see it belongs to me, I just receive it right now. I mean, knowing that it's already been provided, knowing that you got evidence, God said it's already done, just receive it. Praise God. See, we got to get our minds wrapped around that. But, you know, our mind isn't what we believe with. Our mind is what we agree with. But our heart is what we believe with. But until we take that knowledge and let our mind agree with it and let that drop from our mind to our heart, that's when we believe. Amen. And that's where faith. Faith is always in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. If it is not in, listen, if it's not in both, it's not faith yet. That means you could say or parrot what the word says. But if it's not in your heart yet, then it still is only in one place and it's not faith. It is right to confess it, but you're not confessing it what God said to make God do what He's already done. What you're confessing it because you are acknowledging or agreeing as far as you're concerned, what God said is true and it's already done. You're just acknowledging it as yours. That's what confession does. It's a big difference. So the important thing is that we get it in both places. Well, Pastor, how do I get the Word of God from just being a mental agreement to a heartfelt reality with which I release it in my mouth? By meditation. That's how you get it. And you know what? The healing center is like a meditation center. And I'm not talking about some weird Eastern cult religion, meditation, yoga, and all that kind of stuff. And I know there's many that I get boos for bringing up yoga, but its origin is not Christian, and I can just tell you, just wake up, people. Amen. If you're a believer, you meditate the way the Word of God says meditate. You don't empty your mind. You fill your mind with the Word of God. Amen. You fill your mind with the Word of God so that your mind is persuaded and it persuades your heart. It drops down and you see it. You say, yep, this is mine. I accept that. Praise God. So it's important that we understand that the healing center is actually like it's part of your meditation center. Praise God. Where you're hearing it over and over again. So you take what you learn, you write it down, and then in your own private time, you're saying those phrases. You're saying what the Word says. You're quoting the Scripture. You're taking things that God has said to you about what He said, or what I've said, or what Pastor David said, and you're saying those things back so they become more real than the pain, more real than the symptoms, more real than what the devil said, more real than what the doctor said, more real than all the symptoms and all those things. Then that's when faith is. Until that, you're still getting there. But we need to understand, here it is. Evidence means the available body of facts or information indicating whether a belief or proposition, that's opinion, is true or valid. So I'm not giving you, even though I gave this definition, I'm not giving you my opinion. But we can't. I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm giving you what the Word says. I don't give you what the Word says, then throw it away. But if the evidence, the available body of facts or information that is to form a belief by is the Word of God, then you need then we need to accept that. Let that be the proof. Let that be the receipt. Let that provide the belief and the evidence for what I believe. Praise God. So here is what we must know and understand. Healing's evidence is the Word of God. And today we're going to look at more evidence. So let me say it like this. Healing's evidence is the Word of God. Healing's evidence is the Word of God and not your experience. Experiences are always to be interpreted by the Word of God. If not, you're going to make a mistake. So many times people say, well, they base what they believe on what's happened to them or what somebody's experience is instead of what the Word of God teaches, and you're trapped and you can't have faith that way. You got to base your faith upon the Word of God or it's not faith. And faith is the only thing that you can receive God with. And it's not hard. It's the same faith that you got saved with, the same faith you get healed with. So you got faith. If you're a believer, you got a faith. The Bible calls you a believer. The Bible calls you a believing one. The devil works overtime to make you think you're not. To make you think. And he uses feelings all the time against us for us to side in with our feelings or experiences. Healing's evidence is not an experience. It's God's Word. And if you base your faith on evidence, somebody's experience rather, instead of the Word of God, you'll fall. Even if you base it on your own. Most times, people don't allow the Word of God to determine what they're going to believe. Even in Christianity, I'm sorry to say, most people never let the Word of God really be the determining factor of what they believe. Now, if you examine that, I know you're a different breed because you've been taught the Word of God. But most people, you can go anywhere and talk. You can ask them if they're a Christian. And they may be. Pastor Deb and I meet them all the time. But when you, as far as being saved, yes. But asking them pointed questions about beliefs concerning things of redemption and things, they don't have a clue about it. They know they're saved and that's it. Healing would be a foreign language to them. And it doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they've been untaught. And the Scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So what we're doing today is we're looking at more evidence. Look, more proofs, more receipts. The proof that healing has been purchased for us so that you and I can possess it and walk in it. And that's good news. We should be excited about that. And we should learn it so that not only we can receive it, but help other people. Let's take some more evidence today in Psalms 103, verse 2 and 3. So many of these are going to be very familiar to you today. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Notice the word all here. Did you get that? All means all. So that doesn't, that just, you know, well, I know, Pastor, that God can heal a hangnail, but I'm not sure about terminal cancer. All. See, and this is where people get tripped up before they ever get to healing. They get tripped up saying like this, well, I think God could forgive me for this thing I did, but I'm not sure if he'll forgive me for this. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He forgives anything we repent of and turn from. Come on. All. And he'll heal all that we believe him for. He said it right here. I like what one translation says, who forgives our your sins, everyone, and who heals your diseases, every one of them. Amen. And so it's very important here that we just accept it. Again, forgiveness of sins here and healing here clearly is part of redemption. And another, here we go, here is another healing receipt evidence from the Word of God. Here's, I'm bringing the receipts to you. And for every person that would argue, you know, well, you know what, I believe that God can heal, and he will, you know, but the ultimate is healing when we get to heaven. Well, that's not what God is talking about. Sure, we'll ultimately all be healed when we get to heaven. But if you don't know this, you're going to get to heaven sooner. And it wasn't God's will. God wants us well. He wants for long life to satisfy us and show us his salvation. And part of salvation is a healing. Praise the Lord. We got to listen. We got to let the word determine what we believe. And this is healing's evidence right here. More receipts. I'm bringing the receipts for anybody that would say, well, I don't know. What about this? Well, here's another healing evidence. Proverbs, turn with me. Proverbs 4 and verses 20 through 22 says it like this. Proverbs 4, it says, my son, attend to my words. Everybody say his words. This is God's word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart out of your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, God's word, back in 20, that's what they are in verse. When it says, attend to my words, this is what verse 22 is saying. For they, the words are life unto those that find them. And notice, health to all their flesh. Notice what God's word is. God's word is health to all our flesh. Life to those that find them means you got to find it. Amen. Remember, it's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you. It's, come on. It's not hidden. It's written. Come on. And so that we can know it. And so notice where it says here that it's health to all our flesh. Wow. Health to all our flesh. God's word is health. Now, do you know that this word health here in the Hebrew is translated in other translations, medicine to all our flesh. Let me give you all the definitions for this word, the Hebrew word translated health in Proverbs 4 that's connected back to God's word and us attending to it. Attending means you put it first place, not secondary, not fourth, not fifth. It's not multiple choice, church. It's first place. If you met somebody on the street and they say, hey, you got 5 minutes? And I said, you know what? I really don't. I apologize. I've got some business to attend to. Right now I'm on my way to an appointment. I don't have time to talk. That just means when I said I have a business to attend to, I have something that I have to put first because that was part of the agenda. Okay? God wants us to know we got to put his word first. That's how we attend to his word. Incline his ear, our ears to his sayings. We need to hear his word. Hear us read it and hear it read. In other words, we need to hear it. Hear it taught, but we need to hear us read it. And it means it has to be first. Let them not depart from your eyes. It means we need to see it all the time. This is why even when I can quote, when I meditate the word of God, I turn and I can quote all those scriptures, those 20-some scriptures I go over every day that feeds my faith and I meditate on. I look at them, even though I can do it blindfolded because I've done it hundreds of times, thousands of times. I still look at them because the scripture says, let them not depart out of your eyes, because these five senses either trap us or they can free us. Because, in other words, if we give them the right things to look at, it can produce faith instead of doubt. So it says, let not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. So notice, they're supposed to get in our heart. Well, how do you know if they're in your heart, Pastor Chris? Well, the easiest way to know is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So until when life pressures us, and I'm going to encourage you, don't wait till life pressures you to find out what's in your heart. But one way we find out what's in our heart is when certain circumstances and situations hit or people ask us questions or things happen, what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. So is the word coming out of our mouth? And if it is, then we just got to make sure that's the right thing, but we're not just parenting it because we got the right answer. But we really believe that. And you're the one that determines that by this. For they, God's word is what? to life to those that find them, and no health to all that flesh. Life and health comes this way, by attending to God's word. Another healing evidence, another receipt, another proof. But let's define, just in case someone would say, well, you know, this word health, how do we know it's physical? Well, let me give you all the Hebrew definitions. It means a medicine, a cure, a remedy, a deliverance, a healing. All of those are talking about something either physical or mental. And thank God. I say thank God. This is another evidence or receipt or proof of healing. Praise God. Let's look at another evidence, Psalms 107, verse 20. Love this. It says, He sent, just talk about God, He sent His word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. You know what? Here's the great thing about this word right here. I love it. Praise God. God said He sent it and it delivered us. He sent His word and it healed us. Just imagine that God uses this word to produce faith and healing evidence in our life so that we are healed and delivered from our destructions. It's pretty awesome. Praise God. Now, just in case you're facing a real battle, which many of us are, doesn't mean you're bad, doesn't mean that you've missed it. It means you're under attack. This word here, destruction, delivered them from that destruction. What did the word? The word. This is why we better be hearing the word. You better be in a church where the word is taught. Where the word, it says, and heal them. So in order for the word to heal them, the word had to contain healing elements for you to know that healing is part of it. You should be in a place where that's why you're here, church, because you're hearing the healing word. You know how important that is. Okay? So, but the truth is, without the healing word, there's no faith for healing. Come on, without the healing word, there's no faith for healing. And it said, deliver them from their destruction. Did you know that this is only one other place that word destruction is used in the New Testament. I mean, in the Old Testament. Only one other time. This word, it means, it's used twice. And it actually means, in other words, here in one other place, it means pit or the lowest place. So in other words, when you are at the very lowest place and you think you can't get any lower, it can't get any worse, God said, I want you to know if you're at that place, this word will still deliver you. I'm sharing this with you because there's going to be people that you minister to that needs a hope and a future, and they just think they're too far gone. But God said He sent His word. If He can get them to believe that word, it'll deliver them from their destruction. No matter what that lowest pit, it means it's translated a pit or the lowest place of destruction. Praise God. Pit or destruction. Praise God. And so I want the enemy wants us to know, or he wants us to think that we're in such a low place, such a dark place, there's no hope. This says that there is, and the word is all we need. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So think about this. It says the word. He sent His word to heal us and deliver us from all our destruction. But we know what the word is. God would use this word to deliver us right here. But also think about this. Not just what the word is, but who is the word? Not a trick question. Who is the word? The Lord Jesus Christ. He did send His word. He sent His word and healed us. He sent Jesus, His son. So the word is Jesus as well. And whatever we see, that means this. Whatever we see Jesus do, hallelujah, whatever we see Jesus do was the will of God. Everything Jesus ever did in His life and ministry was redemptive. It was about restoring what was lost in the fall, including sickness and disease, back to man. This is why wherever Jesus went, He healed. And He taught and preached first to produce faith so people could receive healing. Hallelujah. So a great verse that lets us know these two things is John 6:38. Jesus said this, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So when Jesus said, "I only do what I see my Father do, I only say what I hear my Father say," and then he says, "Everything you see me do, has it been my will? It's the Father's will." So we're not blinded by what the Father's will is. We know exactly what the Father's will is. We look no farther than what we see Jesus say or see Jesus do every time. Matthew 4:23, here it is. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues," that's the will of God, "preaching the gospel of the kingdom," that's the will of God. Why is teaching and preaching so important? Because it produces faith and lets you know what the will of God is. That's what it's supposed to do. Let you know what the will of God is. And it says, "and healing all," everybody say healing all, "and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." This, all three were the will of God. And once again, the reason why the teaching and preaching came before the healing all was because people needed to know what the will of God is. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So healing all is more evidence. Another receipt of healing was paid for so that you and I could benefit from it. Now let's look at it. I'm going through these pretty quick and Acts, but I'm just giving you the receipts. You know, if I went shopping and Pastor Debbie was taking care of the checkbook, if that's the way we did it, I used the credit card, but I got the receipt. She wants to know where the receipts are. So when I come home, she said, "Give me the, did you buy anything today?" I said, "I went to four places and I bought six things." Give me the receipts. Give me the receipts. That's what I'm giving you. I'm giving you the receipts that healing has been paid for you and I right here. And God is, it's all found in His Word. Hallelujah. Receipts are important because it's proof, it's evidence that this belongs to you. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Healing all. Doing good and healing all go together. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Who were they oppressed by? God? No, the devil. Sickness and disease is taught here, as well as many other places, as satanic oppression. And until you and I see it as such, it's not a pet to, or it's not a badge of honor, or it's not something that, you know, that we just glorify God with. If you know, the devil's told many people, you know, God's giving you this sickness so you can bear it graciously and bring glory to God. You can't find that in the Bible. You can find that in the opinion of men at a lot of churches, but you can't find that in the Bible. It said he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. That means sickness and disease is oppression of the devil all the time. Case in point, it's over. Hallelujah. And what God calls oppression, you need to call it oppression. Sickness and disease is satanic oppression. And until you do, you will not resist it.
That's right.
Until you do, you're not. If you think it's from God, you will not resist it. If you're not convinced that the sickness and disease that's attacking your body is not from God, you'll put up with it. And this is one of the traps of the devil. One of the traps of the devil. I don't know if I'm going to get past this point today, but that's all right. One of the traps of the devil is to make us believe that sickness and disease is from God. And it's a way that we can glorify God somehow. You know, after all, you know, I was in the hospital and I won three people to Jesus and God got all the glory for it. It was wonderful that three people came to Jesus, but that wasn't the purpose of you getting in the hospital and getting that sickness and disease. It's wonderful that you acted redemptively in something that wasn't redemptive, your sickness. But Jesus died. You did the right thing, but you cannot embrace that like this is the will of God. The reason this has happened is that I won three people when I went to the hospital. See, you're interpreting what your experience, you're interpreting, you're trying to, you're using your word to define what the word says instead of the word to define why you're there.
Right.
The truth is, until you and I understand that all sickness and disease, it came with the fall, and it's part of satanic oppression, then you and I will put up with it, or be more likely to put up with it. Because what happens is, if you think that it's God's will, then you're not going to do anything about it. You'll be passive. And faith is never passive. Faith, in order to work, is always active. And if you think God did this, then you'll not resist it. And this is why not only do you need to know it's satanic oppression, but you do need to learn that you have the authority against it. So let me just say this. Sometimes people say, well, you know, I just believe that, you know, this was God's will. That sickness and disease is God's will. God put this on me to teach me a lesson. You're not going to find that in the Bible. There's always a cause, but the cause is always going to be found right there. And sickness, disease, the door was open somewhere. Or when it comes, if we believe that God is doing it to us, we won't resist it. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And you know what? And sometimes people will say, and they're trying to be intellectually honest, but they haven't really thought about this too. They've been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. People will say, well, this, you know, I think God is trying to teach me a lesson, or this came from God, or whatever. Okay? Well, let me ask you this. Why are you trying to get well from it? Why are you going to the doctor and trying to get fixed? If God put that onto you, why are you in a spirit of rebellion and trying to get better from it? See how foolish that first thinking is? But people have bought those things hook, line, and sinker, and primarily because preachers have stood up and try without evidence of the word to disprove redemption by someone's experience and by people dying and why there's sickness and disease and all those kind of things instead of going to the word of God, which says that it comes from the enemy and Jesus came to cure it, to heal it. Let's look at this verse in the Amplified Translation to bring something beautiful here. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. Hey, what about doing good? And look, in particular, curing all. He's a remedy, church. The Word is a remedy. Who is Jesus? The Word. The written word is that remedy. The written word reveals the living word. A remedy. In particular, curing all that was harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Woo! Glory be to God. Curing how many? All. Lord, thank you that healing is for all. And you're helping all your people understand it and receive it. Hallelujah. Resisting the enemy. Running the enemy out. And saying no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Not being trapped by a past. Not being trapped by our failures. But being exhorted to the word of God. And receiving God's highest and his best. That's what we have to believe for. Don't let your past, what you haven't gotten, determine what you will. And what already belongs to us. Praise God. Now let's look at a great example of this from the life and ministry of Jesus in Luke chapter 13. And we'll turn there, Luke chapter 13, and we'll read here together beginning with verse 10. So remember, Jesus is the living word, and he healed all or cured all, in particular, all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Okay, so we see here as well is that he did good and took off what Satan put on. I'm showing you again why that not only is God good and he heals, but the devil is bad. The origin of sickness comes from him. We have to understand that the word can take it off, but also you and I have authority over that. And if we don't understand that, we won't resist it. We have to resist it. We have to resist it. Praise God. At Luke 13, you're there with me? in verse 10, beginning there, it says, and he, Jesus, was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, why is he teaching? He's teaching to establish truths to live by to produce faith for us. Teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And I wonder what he was teaching. Pretty simple, the Word. What God the Father said. Because he said, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I only do. So what we're getting ready to do, we don't necessarily hear what he taught, but we see what he did. So it exemplifies both. Hallelujah. And it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. And the scriptures, in other translations, says a demon of sickness. So in other words, sickness and diseases, its origins come from the enemy. We just need to understand that. Look, for 18 years, and was bowed together, could no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity or your sickness. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified or praised God. Now you think everybody would be dancing and shouting, but not the religious folk, because you know what? They want to get the glory, and they want to tell you something other than what God's word says. It said, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, was angry. Was angry because she was healed. Imagine that. So the next person that gets angry of you getting something from God that belongs to you, just walk away. Just know they ain't trying to be your friend. They're trying to talk you out of what belongs to you. If they can't get excited about your salvation, about you being made whole, or you don't need them. Pastor Chris, you tearing it up today, ain't you? And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation or was angry because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, are there not 6 days in which men that work and in them therefore come and be healed not on the Sabbath day? And the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrite. See, Jesus was the nicest man you ever sent, you ever met. Most loving, most compassionate. This is not unloving or uncompassionate. He didn't put up with things that killed people. He didn't put up with he didn't put up with it. He said, you hypocrite. Well, Pastor Chris, I don't think that was politically correct. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Jesus never sinned or did anything wrong. He called it what it was. And that's exactly what they were, hypocrites. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose an ox or an ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And now notice verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and they should have been. And all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. Notice in verse 16 again, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loose from this day? Now, who bound this woman? Did God or Satan bind her? So where did the sickness and disease come from? What did Jesus do with this? He healed her, right? Okay. Now, but what's so interesting is that not only did he heal her, but when he's explaining to the religious folk there, he showed them not only what he did, but why he had a right to do this for this lady. Now, notice what he called her. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? What that meant was she had the same covenant that Abraham had. See, what you and I miss with covenants, because we're not up on covenants. We should be. Old and New Testament covenants. What we forget about that is that God did everything for man legally. We talked about it in these messages. He had to do them through covenants that he cut with man. in order to get into man legally and be able to do what his will was in man. So he found a faithful man called the father of faith. Who was he? Abraham. He called this lady who believed in the God that we worship today, Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She had her faith in that, and notice he called her a daughter of Abraham. That meant that through her faith in the coming Messiah, she could get the same benefits that Abraham had, because all the covenant blessings came because of his obedience. So what does that mean for us today? It was wonderful for that woman, and we should rejoice. Well, it didn't stop just with that woman, because remember, God does everything through covenants. And how many know that was a new covenant cut through who? Through Jesus with the Father. And everything, when we put our faith in Jesus, everything that the Son has now belongs to us. And to prove how important this part is to understand what being a daughter of Abraham means, or having the faith of Abraham means, turn, unless you think it just means something for her, which we can rejoice for her, but it means something for us today too. When we turn to Galatians chapter 3, if we look here together in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, it says, "And if you be Christ," why don't we, and I didn't tell them in the back, so you might have to read along with me. Let's go back to verse 26 and read this portion of Scripture. This may be as far as we can go, almost. Praise the Lord. It says, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Remember, we're not children of God because we're born in the human race. We're children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This bunch of bunk that people say, well, we know we're all children of God. No, we are not. We're not all children. We're all part of the human race. We become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We come children of God the way God says that we come. You know, I don't mean this disrespectfully. We were witnessing to a young man that was waiting on us through the line the other day, or several weeks ago now. And when the opportunity comes, or we see there's a good opportunity, we just take it. So they asked, and he was open to us, but I asked him, and I said, "So, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" He said, "Well, you know, I was water baptized, and my parents are actually pastors," and this and that. I said, "No," I said, "that's not what I said, I understand water baptism is important, but I didn't ask you if you were water baptized. I asked you, is Jesus the Lord of your life? You're not, listen, God don't have no grandchildren." He smiled. He understood what I'm saying. Either you are his child through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't get in there because your parents believe something. You get there because you believe something and you receive Christ. He understood. He smiled. He said, "Yeah, I've done that." Praise God. Wonderful. But we need to understand those things. We're children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. "For many as you," verse 27, "have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ." See, in other words, being in Christ is the great equalizer. And we become children that way. You don't become a child of God because of your gender, your color, your nationality, or any other thing. You become a child of God, and your gender, your color, your nationality, all those things have diddly to do with you in the kingdom of God. God is just telling us they may be important to you, and they have a certain natural aspects that are important. But when it comes to us receiving from God, we all come the same way through Jesus Christ, or we don't come, or we don't get it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you notice everything in the world today is always trying to divide us. It tried to divide us through race, color, religion, politics. All those kind of things that tried to divide us, when the one thing that unites us is Jesus Christ. And nobody wants to talk about Jesus. They say, "Well, you know, I believe in God." No, Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? Look, now, let's read verse 28 again. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, I got a little rant there. It didn't hurt you, though. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male or female. You're not better off because you're one or the other. God knows which one you are. He's saying diddly on that. You're important. You're my child. You're my masterpiece. You're my masterpiece because I made you. Not because you're pretty, not because you're a man and handsome, not because you're a certain color, because you are my child. You're in Christ. All right, and here's the key. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's our promise right there for healing. Another proof, another evidence. Just like this, when Jesus said, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan is bound, be loose from her bonds this day. Here it is for us. He's saying the same thing to us. If we're, what did he say? He says, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Woo! Glory to God. And heirs according to the promise. So here's another healing evidence from the Word of God. And you know what? Just in case, you know what? In other words, Abraham, what God did to Abraham or for Abraham, obviously was meant for us to live that same faith for, because it supersedes the old covenant. We find this in all through the New Testament talking about the faith of Abraham. Not a faith in the law of Moses, a faith, the faith of Abraham, which was the faith in the Messiah. Trusting God in the one that God would send to redeem us. The point is, Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 8, verse 6 tells us this. Hebrews 8, 6 tells us this. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus Christ, and how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So even in the Mosaic covenant, that the children of Israel, I can show you, the children of Israel had a covenant with God that provided healing for them. But this is letting us know that what Jesus Christ did gave this to the whole world. Not just to Israel, to the whole world. And what Abraham had before Moses had, we have, and is built upon even a greater promise. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? I said, aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. So what I've done today, and I really have to finish, we'll pick up here. I hope it's helped you today, hadn't hurt you. What we've done today is examine more proofs, evidence, that Jesus is not only the Savior, but the healer also, because he has never changed. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Let's stand to our feet today.